Welcome to the talk show that brings on guests from all corners of the entertainment industry. From voice actors, musicians, social media influencers, authors, and so many more, you will be entertained. Grab a seat, a nice cold drink, put up your feet and relax, because you are hanging out with the Leo Effects. Turn it up and let the show begin. When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area. Welcome to the talk show that brings on guests from all corners of the entertainment industry. From voice actors, musicians, social media influencers, authors, and so many more, you will be entertained. Grab a seat, a nice cold drink, put up your feet and relax, because you are hanging out with the Leo Effects. Turn it up and let the show begin.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Leo Effects. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest. He's had a huge, lucrative career, but admittedly, I mostly know him from Borderlands 3 as probably the most annoying but relatable robot ever to have been built. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce you all to my guest today, Jim Ferranda. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I get to chat with you. And, you know, ever since I started playing Borderlands back when it came out, one of my favorite characters was the Claptrap unit. And so when I saw that you did the voice of that and that we were able to contact each other, I was like, man, I got to talk to this guy.
Well, technically, I'm just Claptrap in Borderlands 3 and the Commander Lilith in the Fight for Sanctuary. However, I am in every Borderlands game except for Tales.
Okay.
I am my voice is a salt shaker. It's just kind of like all over the Borderlands universe. It's Borderlands 1, a lot of stuff. You know, Hank Reese, the Atlas Probes, the Engorge guy on the radio, the voice of the Doll Corporation, the Ice Cream Day soldier. Oh, Brother Sophus, Maya killed him in an echo. I've been working with Gearbox. First Gearbox role ever was multiplayer character A in Brothers in Arms Hell's Highway, I think it was. It was the second Brothers in Arms games. I lose track of which one was which. So,
wow. So I got to ask, like, the first initial question that comes to mind is, what drew you into the world of voice acting in the first place?
Oh, gosh. Well, I should say that I started working, I started in advertising. I originally wanted to go to film school, and then I realized it'd be really hard to get work out of that straight out of school. So I went into advertising. When I was a kid, I saw one of those documentaries, or, you know, it's a show for kids saying, hey, kids, advertising can trick you. Here's how they do it. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. I thought, wow, that is really neat. And I went into advertising. And I moved to Texas. A friend who used to live in Florida, who used to work in Florida, had moved out here to work on the Star Wars Episode I campaign for Pizza Hut, the big Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken thing they did.
Yeah.
And they needed a writer, and they said, hey, I know this guy. He's really into Star Wars. And so I ended up in Texas. At the same agency a few years later in 2001, we did some spec work for Hasbro Toys for 12-inch G.I. Joe stuff, which ended up being, we ended up being the agency of record for Hasbro Toys from 2002 to 2013. And I wrote toy commercials for, 12 years. I wrote every Transformers toy commercial from 2002 to 2012 for 10 years. And that's how I got into voice acting, through G.I. Joe, actually. We did a, I'd always done voices. I did high school drama. I was in school plays and stuff like that. I was in friend student films in school. And we did a CG G.I. Joe commercial. And originally there was union talent in it. And there's a budget miscalculation. It turns out that the payout for that, there was no room left for the media budget, that type of thing. So they paid all those actors session fees. And then they had all of everybody in the agency just kind of pile into the booth one by one and just read for everything. We didn't slate our names or anything. And they just, Hasbro got all the files and they picked me to voice five different characters throughout the campaign. I was Destro, Cobra Commander, Duke, Heavy Duty, a British reporter. And after when Hasbro found out those were all me, they just started putting me in a lot of stuff. I've been Optimus Prime for them. Oh gosh. It's crazy. And after a while, a new producer later on said, you know, you could do this on the side and get paid for it. And I thought, oh. And so I put a reel together, all the stuff that I had done in advertising, and an agent picked me up. And the first thing I ever did for Funimation was an episode of Case Closed. I was a gold digging husband that got super murdered on a cruise ship. Yes.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna get murdered, do it super.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was a jerk too. He had it coming. So
that's great.
But that is the long convoluted story that I could have made shorter, but I didn't. Of how I got from advertising into voice acting. So
nice. Well, you're very good at doing the different characters and, you know, having all these different voices and things like that. When you were doing Claptrap for Borderlands 3, you had to sound similar to Claptrap from Borderlands 2. So was that harder than what you would typically do by creating your own voices?
There's a freedom when you're creating your own voice, because in Gearbox's previous game, in Battleborn, the characters were actually being written at the same time we were recording. And we were working with the writer, Aaron Lindy. He was the writer. And he would throw stuff by you, and then you would interpret it and you'd act it out. And say a certain inflection or something, he would take inspiration from that. He'd think, huh. And it was super collaborative. And then, you know, taking over Claptrap was just, it was intimidating. It's like, you know, somebody asking you to be like the next Batman or something.
Right.
And so for the first thing I ever did for him technically was Borderlands 2 VR. And they needed new VR instructions for the game. And so they had to drop me in the middle of David's original dialogue. And so I had to get as close as possible to that.
Right.
Really close. And it was a 7-month long audition process. And there was like three or four different, you know, things sent along. Do this, slow it down, change the pitch a little bit. And then so that was the first thing I did. And that was trying to mimic him as close as possible. And so when, for Commander Lilith, it was a few years later after Borderlands 2, and they said, go ahead and loosen up the mimicry. Don't try to copy him exactly. And so it was a little looser. And then when we got around to Borderlands 3, they said, don't worry about trying to copy his performance so much anymore. Just be the character. I kind of liken it to in the Star Trek movies, the new ones with Chris Pine. Chris Pine does not imitate William Shatner.
Right.
He is being the character of Captain Kirk. And because here's the thing, David made that voice. He created that character. That is him. And you can't copy that. You can't really be him, because there's that stamp on it. But I can interpret the character and be loyal to the character and be as close as possible to that as I can. And you know, we sound a little different, right. But I think, you know, I like to think that I've done a pretty good job. I like to think that I've done a pretty good job of keeping that little guy alive. I was a fan of Claptrap. I love the Borderlands games. You know, it's like I was so happy when I platinumed 3 on the PS4. You know, it's it's a crazy honor to be asked. You know, hey, will you be Claptrap? And I was like, well, okay, yeah. And it's still pretty mind blowing when I just think of, you know, yeah, I love him. He's just, I call all my roles they're my children, they're my vocal children. And right. You know, Claptrap, he is my adopted son, but I love him like he was my own. You know,
That's a great analogy. I like that. I like that a lot. Do you have a character that you voiced that you just really enjoyed that voice kind of more than any other one that you've done?
Wow. Okay. So going back to Gearbox's previous game, Battleborn, those characters are very special to me because it was such a collaborative process. The first things we had done were literally the PvP dialogue, and it was mostly call-outs and... It's a toss-up between two characters. One of them is Oscar Mike, who is this clone soldier. The joke was he was this carbon copy soldier of every war game, whether it's Call of Duty or Halo and everything. And he's literally a clone. And, you know, the joke was built on that. And he spoke in terrible memes, you know. That was one of the gags. And some people online, they thought, man, this humor's so old. I'm like, that's the joke. Because he's literally a carbon copy of every other, you know, previous action game that had come out before. Right. But then later on, you find out that he's emotionally not developed because all the clones were originally designed to be sent out in the battle, and then they would die and they just get a new clone. But he lived a long time. He's been around, so he's starting to develop emotions. He started to mature emotionally, and he's got 8 holographic cats. He loves watching soap operas. He's terrified of spiders. And he was just such a fun character. He's a good boy. He just happens to kill aliens. And a second character from that game was this super nihilistic AI named Isaac. And he had this permanently programmed, very cheery voice. And he would say terrible, awful things with this big smile on his face. And that spawned from in the audition, he was not written yet. There was the character description and his whole background was very loose. And so he could have gone anywhere. So I had several different auditions that I sent in. And I thought these are a lot, but they could be interpreted anyway. Mm-hmm. The last one was one that sounded like this. It was kind of based on the old Folgers commercial. We've replaced their coffee with Folgers crystals. Let's see if anybody notices. But you can't be that quiet in a video game. So it became like this. And he smiled all the time when he would say things like, just so you know, after I kill you, I'm coming for your pets. That's a promise. And he was terrible. He's such a mean robot. But I mean, even he evolved. Later on, you find out that... the characters were very deep. The lore in the game went pretty deep, and there was a lot for us to play around with in there. And I worked on that game for 3 years, and I had just been laid off from my advertising job after working in advertising for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And it was terrifying. It was, I thought, you know what, if I don't try to go into voice acting full time, I'm never going to do it. It's too scary. I'm a type 1 diabetic. I need health benefits because it's expensive to not die, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. So my wife, I went on her health plan. That was working out. And it was this was the first time I was voice acting full time, and I made it into this game. And it was the first time I truly felt like this is my job now. This is what I'm doing. I'm pretty okay at it. And that was those characters were very special to me. And you know, I wish Battleborn had done better than it did. It was just kind of steamrolled by Overwatch when it came out, and right. It was a great game. You know, there is a huge internet pile on it. You know, it's that people would hate it even though they'd never played it, and it's kind of sad because it was a fun game. Yeah, I also platinumed that game. I mean, I legitimately loved that game.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's yeah.
that's cool. Like, along those lines, like coming up with. When you're going through a creative process to create a voice for a character, like how does that work for you? What do you do to get that voice for the character?
Gosh, well, there's a lot of different ways that you can figure out what a character might sound like. When you read the character description, you know, have they been through a lot of battles? Have they, you know, or have they, what is their personality like? Are they prickly? Are they very standoffish? They don't want to talk to anybody. They're, you know, they're just not friendly. Or maybe they're pretty nice. Maybe they're really optimistic, and they think everything. They just assume everybody's cool. Are they cuddly? Are they, you know, are they big and goofy? You have to take clues from the character description as to where you could play with the sound of them. And sometimes that can go in multiple directions. And I used to be really guilty of, it's embarrassing to think about it, of sending too many different possible takes for characters into an audition because I could not figure out what the client was looking for. And I thought, oh, maybe I should send everything. And now I dial it back to three at the most.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of folks I've worked with, they know what I can do, and if they bring me back for anything, I'll send in something that I think here's where I think it could go. And I mean, I've gotten roles before where they would like my audition, but they would say, "Can you add a little bit of this other character you did into it?" And it would end up being almost a completely different voice, but. The character was still there. It's I like telling folks that I am audible clay for them to mold.
Nice. You know,
I'll give them the initial model, and if they want it to be sharper or softer or friendlier or angrier or whatever, I can meld it to that. I can just, yeah.
Cool. Have you ever considered doing actual screen acting?
Oh gosh, I've done some stuff on camera. I did in the One Piece Blu-rays and DVDs. I think they were having these actor introduction skits, and I played Caitlin Glass's brother in a library. It was these silly little things. They were fun. I when I was working in advertising, we'd do some fun walk-ons for some of the ads that we would do just for giggles. But I think that would be fun. In recent years, people in TV commercials are no longer like all super svelte and good looking. So if they need a dumpy Asian guy for a TV commercial, I think I could probably do that.
Nice. I like it. They, you know, and you watch like the old commercials and everything was, you know, very streamlined and very perfect. And now you watch them and most of them are people spilling stuff all over themselves and just, they're being everyday people. I think it's more relatable now.
Yeah, so. I think so. It's, the advertising has changed completely, even in the time when I used to work in it. And it's just, it's always a reflection of like, you know, who people are, you know, and where society is at the time. It's that's fascinating in and of itself.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wonder your participation within all of the Borderlands games and the animes that you've done, I mean, you've had to have gone to at least one convention, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny. I'd gone to conventions as just an attendee. That was one of the fun things about working for Hasbro is that they would they'd say, okay, who wants to help out at the booth, the Hasbro booth? We'll give you your pass. And so our company, my advertising agency, they'd ask for volunteers. Ooh, me. So yeah, so I got to go to San Diego Comic-Con on the company bill for 9 years. That was the greatest, aside from getting paid, that was the greatest thing about that job. It was so much fun. Because I had a day job, I didn't have the time to do large roles or anything like that. And I'd played support characters for years. And I did not get a con invite until Borderlands 3.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That last year started with a Let's Play Gaming Expo here in Texas, and YomaCon, and several IckyCon, Magfest was, oh my gosh, that thing is nuts. Have you gone in DC?
I know a few people that go to that, and they tell me about it every year.
It is amazing. Anyway, I mean, everything has been so great, and for me, it was such a new thing to be on the other side of the table at a convention, and it's different types of conventions are, they're all different. Anime conventions, they have you on a schedule. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. You're going to go to this maid cafe and talk with people. Then you're going to go to, and some of the more overall Comic-Con type shows, you sit at your table and people come up to your table and they chat with you. And I like talking to people. It's hard because at one of these conventions, I'm at my table and I'm talking to folks, and then the person who basically watches over you, makes sure that you know where you're going. They call it a handler. And mm-hmm. The first time I got a handler, I thought, wow, that sounds super fancy. I felt so bad because it's like I gotta go, y'all. But I'll be back at my table whenever, you know. And it's but yeah, I love conventions. I love cons. They're so much fun. And I used to tell people, the joke about going to San Diego was, San Diego, we're all nerds that go to cons. We're big nerds. We love our stuff. And I would tell people, going to Comic-Con, I get to spend a weekend with my own kind, because we're all nerds. We all love the things we love. And it's just, going to cons is great. The nice. Artists, other actors, musicians, writers, it's this big creative palooza that's just, I love it. It's great.
Yeah.
So, cons, I had several lined up this year, and they all just...
Yeah, COVID. Unfortunately. Yeah. COVID-ed. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm doing a Wizard World panel this upcoming Friday on the 28th. I don't know when this is going to be on, but yeah, we're going to be doing the Friday the 28th. Yeah, doing a Borderlands panel with Marissa and Martha and Kieran and Marcus. So we'll have Moe's and Maya and Lorelei and Brick. Yeah. And Claptrap. So
it's going to be a good one.
It's going to be fun. I mean, those are all great folks. They're just, it's cool.
Right. Well, I want to open up this last little bit of the interview here and allow you the chance to shamelessly self-promote. If you have a website that people can go to or, anything you want them to follow along, go ahead and let them know.
Cool. The easiest place where people can follow me chat via posts or whatever is on Twitter. It's easy. It's twitter.com/JimForonda, JimForonda. And plugging stuff. This is fun. I've already done a few and I love it. I'm on Cameo now. So if you've got a birthday, an anniversary, somebody's graduating, which would be weird because school just started up again, albeit, from home, or, a pep talk or something. That's fun. I've been enjoying that a lot. And, I have a bunch of NDA projects that I can't talk about right now.
Of course.
Boy, howdy. And that's... No, I can't. Oh, damn. Yeah, I can't talk about anything, really.
Isn't that the way of it?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you never... Don't break NDA, because if you like working... You don't break NDA.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's certain. You've done so much, and I'm so glad that you came on the show to talk to me today.
Oh, sure. Has it already been a half an hour?
It has. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, we hardly had a chance to talk. I felt I just like yapped and didn't answer many questions.
No, that was perfect. That's what this show's all about.
Okay.
Like, I love it when guests come on and you always have the best stories and just some of the cool stuff that you would never learn otherwise. I mean, it's just great to have you all come on and chat.
Well, thank you for having me. I could have filled several hours, but you know, people would have fallen asleep by then. I ramble a lot, so.
Well, that just means you're going to have to come back again in the future.
Sure, that'd be great.
All right. Well, thank you again, Jim, and thank you to all the listeners and now viewers, since we're on YouTube, for checking this out. And we hope that you check out more episodes. And if you're just coming into this on the video end, go check out the audio stuff. There's hundreds of interviews. You don't want to miss them. But thank you all very much, and we'll see you all next time.
Oh, now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.